If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? You are tuned into the newest edition of the Punch List MMA Podcast. I'm co-host Dale Lippin in here with Trey Van Buskirk. Rock and roll, man. What's up, dude?
Ooh, brutal week last week. But you know what, dude? You gotta wear it on your sleeve and move forward. We gotta take this next week and just crush it, dude.
I think we are gonna crush it. We did get stomped out last week. It was not pretty. But that's the game. That's betting. It happens. It really looked. 30 seconds into the Josh Emmett Shane Burgos fight, Josh Emmett completely rips his ACL in half. It seemed like a foregone conclusion. Even then, I thought Burgos won round one and two. That's my personal opinion. It makes it a little difficult because obviously we're putting money on things. But all that to say, we will bounce back even stronger this week. Trey, before we get into this, do want to let you know that I am feeling a little sleepy. I'm going to try to match your energy level as best I possibly can. I'm feeling a little sleepy. I had two center cut loin pork chops from Stay Classy Meats for dinner tonight. So I got a belly full of pork, grilled some corn. It was delicious, man. Absolutely fantastic. Stay Classy Meats, best stuff on earth. I will not... you'll never hear me say anything else, man. I watched a YouTube video the other night. It was like the 10 best steakhouses on earth, and they were showing all these steaks. And I was like, you know what? It's going to be hard pressed. If I go to one and I pay that kind of money, right? I think like the most expensive one was like average cost was like $420 a person. If I go and eat a $420 steak and it does not taste as good as a Stay Classy steak, I'm going to put my finger down my throat and throw it back up on the table, and you're giving me a refund.
I feel like next week you're going to come with like bleach blonde hair and you're going to look like Guy Fieri. That's the phase you're headed towards.
Absolutely. Well, I actually do already. I was going to wait till we did the Manscaped ad read to say this, but I do dye my pubes and call my low zone Flavor Town.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. What a Tuesday.
So anyway, guys, go to Stay Classy Meats. Use promo code FIST. Save 10% on the entire thing. It's absolutely fantastic. Best stuff on earth. Just no GMO, no hormone. The way the good Lord intended great quality meat to be. StayClassyMeats.com, promo code FIST, saving you 10%.
Also, guys, we know that treating your body well and putting something inside you is a benefit, but putting something on top of you as well is super a benefit. And we have just partnered with Allegiance. Guys, if you're not familiar with Allegiance, Allegiance draws from years and years of experience and heritage in the garment industry. They have the sickest clothes on the planet. And it's not flamboyant. It's not out there. We're not pushing some type of affliction tap out bullshit. This is for the action sports lover at heart, for the moto guy, the surf, the skate, the snow, and of course, mixed martial arts. And guys, they are backing us and we want to back you guys. Go to their website, which is allegianceclothing.com. Type in the code PUNCH. You're going to get 15% off their entire site. Again, that's allegianceclothing.com. Type in the code PUNCH, get 15% off. And I'm telling you guys, coming out of quarantine, everyone's going to look like shit. This is going to make you look like pretty rad dude back on the streets.
Are we talking about an American-owned and operated place?
Of course, dude. Why would we put anything else in association to this brand?
I just want to make sure. And are they vet-friendly?
They are. They actually... A lot of their fan base comes from the first responders and military men and women out there.
Okay. So I just want to make sure. So it's a vet-friendly American owned and operated business.
Yeah. Should there be any other type of business?
I just want to make sure. And what was the code again?
It is PUNCH, and it'll get you 15% off at allegianceclothing.com.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, dude, let's hop into this event, man. Let's knock this thing out real quick. We've had it was a wild week. There was a lot of fights announced as well, so we can chit-chat on some of those. But let's recap a little tiny bit about what happened last week before we get into this week's bets. Curtis Blaydes drew the ire of Dana White. Dana White said, I'm going to unpack some of what Dana White said, but I just want to get your take on some of these things here. But Dana White basically said that Curtis Blaydes actually hurt his stock given his performance last week. Are you buying into that? Because to me, and this, you know, as you know, we got into a lot of heat online with this, is that my personal opinion is that there is just as big amount of dominance in beating somebody up for 25 minutes as there is knocking them out in 13 seconds.
I totally agree. And you actually stated that on our Instagram. I think that, of course, everyone wants to be a showman. I think Dana White wants that. He wants the blood, gut, and gore. But Curtis Blaydes had a plan. He enacted it perfectly. He weathered the storm of going into the fourth and the fifth round with lack thereof cardio, but stuck to the game plan and got it done. So I don't understand how you can make this not look good for him. The only thing that I could say for Curtis Blaydes is maybe you came into fight week a little bit heavy by stating, hey, I'm going to ragdoll people. Just say you're going to win the fucking fight.
But even then, he called his shot. Listen, it's not akin to a Babe Ruth finger point calling a home run. But if you come in and say, don't bother tuning in if you're looking to see a knockout. I'm going to ragdoll this dude for 25 minutes. He got 14 takedowns in a fight. Alexander Volkov is 6'7", 250-pound, former M1 Global and Bellator champ. And he got dominated from bell to bell for 25 minutes. You get into it with the trolls online that say things like, he was gassed after the third round and this, that, and the other. Listen to what I just said. Alexander Volkov is a 6'7", 250-pound man that's a professionally trained champion fighter that was trying to separate you from consciousness. 15 minutes is a long time to fight him. 25 minutes is an eternity. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do, dominate for 25 minutes. That's as impressive a performance as you're ever likely to see inside the octagon. The only problem is that he said, you can't deny him after Francis. And it seems like everybody else seemed to interpret this as if he thought beating Volkov was going to have him leapfrog Francis. But Blaydes himself admits, Francis is next, then it's got to be me. So I really don't see the problem.
The only problem is it's a moot point, dude. The fight between Blaydes, which would be the third fight, probably wouldn't happen until 2021, like summer. So he's got to be active. He's got to find something else. We can get analytical in regards to whether he should have come out more aggressive or done something outside of wrestling. But at the end of the day, he got the win over, like you said, a 6'7" beast. And yeah, it's on his record.
Yeah. Also, are we under one more thing about Dana White? Are we at the point where Dana's old enough, like has reached old man status now that he's allowed to call everybody a kid?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he kept calling Curtis Blaydes and the kid said this, the kid said that. They can't be more. Are they more than 20 years apart? I mean, because I feel like 20 years is where you can still call somebody else a kid. Like if there's a 20 year gap, then you can call somebody a kid. Is that the age number? What do you think the gap is before it's like condescending that you're calling him a kid?
I don't think there's an age gap. I think it's I like to call it a douchebag power move. You call a kid you call a person a kid, you call a man a kid, that knocks him down a couple pegs.
Yeah. It's almost like when you call somebody buddy or chief, and they're not actually buddy or a chief. Yeah, that's all. It's not quite fighting words, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close. The kid said this, the kid said that. And I don't know, man. And then the fact that he said that he went out there and he looked like shit, I don't agree. I thought it was a stand-up performance. On the flip side of that, since we're talking about age, last thing about – first time ever, man, Clay Guida looked old. First time I've seen him look old. I was all hyped up on the Clay Guida train. I thought cardio output and wrestling would be enough, and he could not secure takedowns against – I still don't like Bobby Green. I still don't think he's that great. And Clay just could not get it done in a fight I thought was super winnable for him, man.
Yeah, wrestling pace was there, but the takedown wasn't. And I think every single time he tried to go for a double, ended up against the cage and kind of more of like a stall and just couldn't muster that extra energy to bring it down to the mat.
Yeah, I will say this. One of the trends that I've been seeing, especially since we've reached this quarantine status, is that the more flamboyant you are in the cage, it seems that judges are swaying that. They're weighing this flamboyant, lackadaisical, attitude. They're treating that as if that's somehow more effective, right? So like we saw it like in the Nate Landwehr, Darren Elkins fight. Yeah. We see it with Bobby Green. We're seeing it a lot more. If fighters act like they're not concerned about their opponent, if they're acting like they're not worried about what's happening, or, you know, if they showboat a little bit, it seems to be being rewarded. Because I still think that the Clay Guida and Bobby Green fight was a lot closer than what we were seeing.
I think that to a certain degree, but I mean, this is a redundant conversation because the judging has been atrocious over the past four events. And I think we saw this into the Max Rostchkov fight as well. How they scored the first two rounds for Hubbard, you know, before it was the, you know, the infamous phrase, the call it, you know.
Yeah.
I think that Max clearly won that first round. I think his coach was in the right by saying, hey, it's split, let's go into the third, let's do this. But to back to your point, I think the judging was off again. I think that to your point, again, the flamboyancy, the outlandishness, the, you know, Nate Diaz, you know, middle fingers to the sky, that'll score you some points, and apparently in the eyes of these judges.
Yeah, it's such a weird time. And I'm glad you brought up the Rostchkov thing. I think everything that transpired there, I mean, I know we initially posted like how many times the guy say he doesn't want to fight before you actually call the fight. But I think that that's a very thin line between, you know, setting him up for failure and doing knowing what's best for your fighter. You know, Drysdale has since gone on to say, you know, he knew, you know, that this guy in his mind was just down on himself because that's the way he is, and that he could have pushed through. But, you know, the flip side of that is if you're Rostchkov and you say, I don't have it tonight, I can't win, I don't want to take unjust punishment, that's something else as well. But it is one of those things. You know, a lot of people were putting it like an Anthony Smith style category, and I don't think it was that kind of situation at all. Like Max Griffin said when we spoke to him, it wasn't like he was getting the shit kicked out of him. Like, that was just an uncompetitive, you aren't going to ever win this fight. Or you could make the argument that Max won that first round. So just because you had a really bad second round does not necessarily mean that you're out of this fight. You know, keep it going. At least try to anyway. But Drysdale's a well-respected coach, former fighter, competitor. And nobody knows your fighter like a coach does. So if he thought pushed it. And the other thing too, and I know I'm getting wordy here, and I just want to say this, is that what we saw was a 20-second vacuum, right? Mm-hmm. It was just a 20-second interaction where he said, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. It wasn't like he was gassing him up for weeks prior. There was some guy that was training in a garage, and he was out there like we see on some of these like YouTube clips and stuff like that, where it's a guy has no business being in a cage. Rostchkov has championship material within him. He just was down on himself. And we saw a vacuum of an interaction.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this actually is very, very, it coincides a lot with how 2020 is unfolded right now. I'm talking outside the cage. We all have become so reactionary on any type of thing. It's disgusting. Sure. And I'll be the first to raise my hand, have it slap back down. I got a bit reactionary that it took, you know, 9 or 10 times for Drysdale to get it through his head that Max should go into the third round, try and win this thing.
Sure.
The thing is, Drysdale said it the best. He said, you know what? I know I have a relationship unlike anyone else knows that I have with Max. I have a certain code language. I have something that I've worked on the gym with him. I know where he's, I know the depths of his most tired moments. I know where his breaking point is. I know from the health safety perspective, he seemed fine to go. I think that, you know, Drysdale, he said it best in the fact that imagine if I was able to get Max to go into the third round, he lays out Hubbard. I'd be, you know, known as one of the greatest coaches of all time. By, you know, going over the mental gap and then showing it from a physical perspective as well. I think that we all need to calm down. We all need to stop being reactionary. And we got to understand that there's a relationship inside that octagon that we know nothing about.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you 110%, man. I think you're absolutely right on. And for those that want to see what good cornering looks like, I encourage anybody to look up Teddy Atlas or watch any fight where Teddy Atlas is a cornerman. You want to hear some of the best in-between rounds advice, adjustments, and motivation, look no further than Teddy Atlas. For those of you that are hardcore MMA stands and don't know much about boxing, Teddy Atlas is the absolute man. His thing where he's talking, I think it was Timothy Bradley where he was talking about being a fireman. Dude, that makes me want, I will Kool-Aid Man through my own wall here listening to that. It's absolutely out of control. All right, so let's get into this UFC Fight Night at the Apex, UFC Vegas 4, if you're following along hashtag-wise on Twitter and Instagram, come Fight Night. Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker. This was a fight that was supposed to take place in your backyard pre-COVID-19, so we're a little upset about that. But we are in Vegas, and we are doing UFC Fight Night Vegas 4, Hooker versus Poirier. Let's get into this real quick. It's weird, Trey, because they've only got four fights listed on the main card, which is different. Normally, we see a five-fight main card. This one's only four. That doesn't mean that we don't have picks and plays on a lot of these, but what we want to do, because there's been some confusion amongst the people between what we're doing here on the show. So let me break it down real quick. We're giving insight as far as to who we think is going to win the fights. But there are specific fights that we think that we should bet on. Now, admittedly, we have not been very clear on that listening back through some audio. So we are going to make it more apparent, abundantly apparent, as to when we're picking a winner and when we are picking something that we want to view as a something that we should bet on, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, guys, we're going to go through this card right here. We'll go through the main card only. If, in fact, you have any questions on the prelims, you can reach out to us on our social and we'll give you the insight. Obviously, we have plays for that, but what we want to do is obviously keep this in a very condensed format and, you know, put the focal point on the fights that a lot of viewers are tuning into, which is the main card.
Yeah. All right, so first fight kicking off the main card is Maurice Greene taking on Jean Volante. Maurice Greene, the crochet boss, 8-4 versus Jean Volante. Light heavyweight that's making his heavyweight debut, 17-11. Chris Weidman's right-hand man. Fantastic camp coming out of Sarah Longo right now. You got Aljamain Sterling, you got Merab. Can Jean Volante ride the momentum here, Trey, and get three wins in a row for Sarah Longo MMA?
You know, this fight is amazing to kick off the main card because you're going to have two guys that don't have very much cardio, as we see in a majority, I guess, of heavyweights. But what they lack in cardio, they highlight in power. This fight's going to be straight up kill or be killed. Do I think that it's going to go the withstand of time? Do I think it's going to go three rounds? No. I think after 1.5 rounds, both these guys are going to look like a dehydrated SpongeBob. Like, that's what it's going to look like. It's going to look fucking disgusting. So I think what you have to look at is there's a massive size discrepancy between these two. And I think when you look at Volante, who's moving up from light heavyweight to heavyweight, is he going to be able to close the distance in a guy that has a crazy reach and actually has to cut down to 265 to be a heavyweight? I think, you know, to close that distance is going to be tough, but I do think that we have to look at Volante and look at his wrestling background. He hasn't utilized it as of recently, but if he does use it, I think throwing some feints there is going to throw Maurice Greene off his game and leave him wide open.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. Since 2018, Jean Volante has been on a win one, lose one tear. So he is technically due for the win, given the trend of win one, lose one, win one, lose one. This should be a win. Maurice Greene coming off two straight losses he lost to Alexei Oleinik and then was it Sergey Pavlovic or something to that?
Yeah.
So he's lost two in a row. Both of these guys are in desperate need of a win. Very rare instance here, Trey, something that I actually really like in this fight. The over-under in a heavyweight fight in a small cage is coming in at 2.5. I like the under here. Here's where things are getting different. I want to bet on the under 2.5. That's what I want to bet on.
Yes. Yes. I 100% agree. You know, this is, again, a guy going up from light heavyweight to heavyweight, two massive size discrepancies. But again, cardio is going to be a huge thing here. And I was sure that Vegas would be smart enough to put it at 1.5. Because, like you said, someone needs to make a statement, so they need to do it quick. You know, this is quarantine training at its finest. Yeah. Under 2.5 is very safe.
Yeah. All right, so let's move it on. Are you still picking a winner for this fight, though? Do you have somebody that you think is going to win the fight? Not to bet to win, but just some of you think is going to win here.
Sir, I would like to take Vellante.
You can take Vellante. 6'3" on a good day, standing up straight with heels. Again, 6'7", cutting weight to make heavyweight limit. Maurice Green, you're taking Jean Vellante.
FYI, this dude was such an amazing middle linebacker that the Giants, the Eagles, they all wanted him. But, you know, he took the road less traveled. And now he's going to be a winning person on Vegas 4.
Okay, gotcha. All right, Jean Vellante is Trey's pick in that fight. But the bet is under 2.5 total for the fight. Okay, let's keep this thing moving. Last second replacement here, or fairly last second. Brendan Allen taking on Kyle. I'm going to butcher this last name until I hear Anik actually say it out loud. But I'm going to go with Daukus.
Daukus, yeah.
I'll go with Kyle Daukus here. Taking on Brendan Allen. Undefeated is Kyle Daukus at 9-0. Fought on Dana White's Contender Series back in this time last year, 2019, but did not earn himself despite a 30-25 and a 30-26 on the cards in Dana White's Contender Series. Did not win himself a spot in the UFC. Went on in some lower-level promotions to get two more wins, and here he is stepping in short notice, replacing Ian Heinisch, taking on Brendan Allen, who is surging, who is popular, who has all of the momentum right now, and he's coming in, you know, basically into the heart of the Lions Den to take on Brendan Allen here. Trey, the odds aren't great on this fight. I'm not necessarily sure it's something that we want to bet on, but let's talk about who we think is going to win this fight.
Well, I think Brendan Allen is pretty much a shoo-in for this fight. But, you know, I know we struggle with Kyle's last name. I'm just going to change his last name right now to Kyle Darce. This guy has the slickest Darce choke of all time. I think that's what you got to look out for. You got to be careful of him on the ground. This guy literally snatches up Darce's like Eggo waffles at breakfast. It's unbelievable how quick he is. You know, Brendan Allen, I think based on what we saw in the last fights with James, these short notice fighters are going to come in and try and bang right away because they know their cardio is not there. Granted, he's had a week under him, but I think Brendan Allen's smart enough to say, hey, I need to be a little bit methodical. I'm going to play to my strengths. I don't see this, you know, being stopped. I actually like a decision for this, but I do see it going in the way of Brendan Allen.
Okay. Last time Brendan Allen lost by submission was against Trevin Giles in Legacy FC. That was back in 2016. So it's been a minute since my man's lost by submission. But doesn't mean it can't happen on Saturday night. However, given the odds for this fight, just to give you a breakdown, Daukus is sitting at a +240. Brendan Allen at a -300. Over-under on rounds is at 1.5. Personally, man, I don't like it a round play here because Brendan Allen can start fast or he can get caught while they're dry in a Darce choke and we can see the under hit. Or... you know, like you said, a decision is probably most likely here, but even then, I'm not crazy about making a play there. So no bet for this fight whatsoever, correct?
Right. And I mean, there's no value, even if you have all your chips on the Brendan Allen play, it's just not worth it.
Right. -300. Yeah. You're just coming back on a pretty low return on investment there. All right, let's go to the main event, man. The co-main event. Not the co-main event that everybody wanted. This, to be honest with you, this is a strange matchup. I'm not even sure I understand this booking other than just wanting to see both of these guys more active on the UFC roster. But Mickey Gall, of all people, sitting at 6-2, taking on Mike Platinum Perry at 13-6. Dude, I don't know what to do with this fight, man. Gall sitting at a +250 underdog. I know you've got some strong feelings about it, and I'll let you get to those. Mike Perry at a -310, a massive favorite over Mickey Gall here. Is this an underdog to watch kind of situation?
This absolutely is. And the reason this thing is booked, because it's the quintessential confliction in styles. You have a striker versus a grappler. Mickey Gall's striking, I don't want to say it's bad. It's just not great. Mike Perry, great striking, but what Mike Perry lacks is what Mickey Gall has as his main tool in his tool belt, and that's his grappling. There are certain levels to jiu-jitsu. This guy who fights out of Gracie, New Jersey, I mean, I followed him 2 years ago when he was a brown belt, and I was shocked that he wasn't a black belt. There's levels. It's not stripes on a belt. It's literally there's tiers within your belt. And this guy got his black belt last year. He is dirty on the ground. And he knows that Mike Perry's a great striker. So he's got to do anything he can with his massive frame and his long reach to somehow get a double, get a single, bring this to the ground. And I think it's going to be a long night for Perry. And can I say, outside of what the technique that Mike Perry has, I'm going to be shocked if he actually makes it to the octagon. This guy is freaking on a bender right now with a new chick who's possibly going to be his corner man, I've heard. You know, this is a very like Diego Sanchez-esque thing we got going on here. But
sure,
Mike Perry showing videos of him all bloodied up on his face. I wouldn't be surprised if this thing gets called off because he gets in a fight with a Walmart greeter because the guy didn't say, "What up, dog?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this could get ugly. If it does happen, I really like Mickey Gall in this fight, though.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and make this this connection. Mike Perry reminds me of Thiago Silva.
Okay.
And those of you who don't remember Thiago Silva, Thiago Silva was an absolute animal inside the cage, and he was either feast or famine. It was either super violent knockout or he was getting finished. Hugely troubled outside of the cage. Personal life was a wreck, in trouble with the law. We haven't seen Mike Perry get in trouble with the law because I low key think that Mike Perry has got a little bit of bitch in him.
Oh, dude.
I do. And I'll
draw
tell
the
you,
line.
Listen, I tell you this because nobody acts as in their feelings as Mike Perry does in it. On at least online anyway, there's female fighters in the UFC that block less people for saying dirty stuff than Mike Perry does. Like, Mike Perry blocks everybody. He is so in his feelings about everything. Like, Mike Perry, I don't even know his middle name, but I bet it's Kyle. Those cuts that he had were from punching drywall, and he probably headbutt the door that his girl locked when she locked herself in the bathroom
after to get away four from monster him. Drinks.
After he's pounding Monster Energy drinks and slamming drywall. I don't know if there's a guy more confused about who he is or what he's feeling in his body. Like, he reminds me of like how I felt at 13 and 14. Like, I just don't know what to do with myself. I'm so angry and I don't know why. Like, Mike Perry, like, listens to if you were to grab a hold of Mike Perry's Spotify playlist. It's probably nothing but old DMX and Linkin Park and that's
Papa
all it
Roach
is
on there for
he,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably what happened. Is he probably listened to "Cut My Life into Pieces" and decided he was just going to start punching walls? I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Mike Perry is a mess, man. I'm seriously concerned for that guy. It's not good. It's not good at all. Yeah. He's absolutely Mike Perry's walking out the Papa Roach.
Oh, dude, for sure. Yeah, there's no doubt.
All right, outstanding. So, underdog to watch on Mickey Gall. That is an upset alert at +250.
Yep.
Gotcha. All right, so let's talk about our final play of the night. Something we are actually going to play. Two official plays on the night. First was the Maurice Green-Jean Volante, under 2.5. This one, Dustin the Diamond Poirier taking on Dan the Hangman Hooker. I got some strong words to say about this fight, but before we get into that, Dan Hooker +170, Dustin the Diamond Poirier making his comeback after the Khabib loss a few months back, -210, over-under on rounds, 2.5, Trey.
Okay. Well, yeah, this is a fight that's been in the works for a while, and I say that because if you remember back to UFC 243, Dan Hooker, when he beat Raging Al, called Dustin out. So this has been something that's been on his wall for a while. I think it's the time. It's hard because I really thought Felder beat Hooker in that last fight. So it's hard to kind of watch this come to fruition. This was Felder's fight to take part in. But I commend Dustin on taking this fight because this is a really tough fight. Dan Hooker is a very awkward dude. He's a guy that has a lot of reach and a lot of range, and he utilizes his kickboxing to not allow you to come in. The problem is Dustin Poirier likes to close the distance and utilize his boxing. So if he can't get in there, that's an issue. And if you recall, the last time that Dustin Poirier fought a guy with a larger reach, It was Michael Johnson, and he got knocked out.
Yeah.
Before that, he lost to a person with a larger reach in McGregor. He doesn't do well with guys that have a longer reach than him, and he can't close the distance. So this fight's a little bit scary for Poirier. I will say the well-roundedness and the wrestling could be a saving grace here.
Yeah, I think so. I think the 25-foot cage is definitely going to work against him here. Poirier has really been relying on his footwork lately. He has not shown himself to react very well to being stalked, and Hooker definitely wants to stalk him in this fight. He's going to have to make those adjustments. He's going to have to get Dan Hooker's respect early. He said that he's never fought in front of no crowd before. He's looking forward to it because he wants to hear Hooker grunt when he gets hit to the body. So that to me says that Poirier's planning on a longer fight, right? Mm-hmm. He saw the Edson Barboza tape. He saw the Paul Felder tape. It's out there on how to beat Dan Hooker, but it will be a war of attrition. You have to go heart for heart for him. You have to go chin for chin to get him out of there. I don't think Poirier separates him from consciousness and knocks him out clean. I worry about the accumulation of damage on both of these guys. I would expect a Max Holloway style fight coming from Dan Hooker. This Dustin Poirier Dan Hooker fight is going to look like a dollar store version of Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway. Is my opinion on how this fight plays out. All that to say, the over under on rounds, Trey, is at 2.5. I think taking the over 2.5 is the bet to make on this fight.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I will say Hooker is a little bit scary. He has knockout power. I mean, if you forget July 11th coming up, the main event, Kamaru Usman, Gilbert Burns, he knocked out Gilbert Burns. So he has that power in his fist. Right. But I don't think that Poirier is going to play that game. I know he's going to be put from distance. The over at 2.5, I'm shocked that it's that low. So yeah, that is a safe play above it.
Yeah, I think the 2.5 is what does that. I think the 25-foot cage, what I meant to say, is what does that. Let me talk about Dan Hooker for a second, though. Since the Jessica Ai, like for a while, Jessica Ai has been one of the least liked fighters on the UFC roster. From her voice to the things that she says to her actions, people just tend to not like her, right? She seems disingenuous at times. She talked all that shit about, you know, being unprofessional and missing weight, and then she missed weight. People just tend to not like her.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in like feeling like Dan Hooker's annoying? Like, does he come across as entitled? Does he come across as annoying? Like the way he just talks about how he's, I'm going to do this and I deserve that and I should be here and this, that, and that. Am I wrong in feeling that way? Because I feel like sometimes when I hear him talk, I'm just like, dude, just slow down, man. Stay in your lane for a minute.
It's more heightened than you feel it because he fights sweethearts. I mean, you want to be best friends with Paul Felder. You want to be best friends with Dustin Poirier. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he was fighting an asshole, you would just almost look lateral. But God, he's fighting the sweetest guys on the human, on the planet.
Right. Yeah, he is fighting nice guys. So that is one thing. But that's the other, but I don't know. Every time he talks, I'm just kind of like, I just don't know if I could ever be friends with you in real life because you just sound like a tool. And then like, so case in point. This is a completely anecdotal observation here, and it means nothing as far as he goes. You know, my brother, he's currently in nursing school. So he had finals coming up, and I was going to do a cameo from, an actress that he likes as like a way to like pump him up for finals. Right. Well, Dan Hooker was on Cameo at the time. I don't know if he is now or not, but he wanted, I think it was $2,500. For like a 30-second thing on Cameo. How do you feel about yourself to make your price point that? Now, I know it's not that now. I think it's different. But at that time, initially, I don't know if it was what he first initially said, $2,500 to hear you talk for 30 seconds? How does your head fit through the door? What kind of pillow? You got to lay on a custom pillow with a head that big.
And there's no sex involved.
None. No news even.
Crazy. $2,500? Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure that's what he had it at. I'm pretty sure that's what he had. Because I remember thinking, this is such an egregious amount of money for a UFC fighter, for any UFC fighter, outside of, like, you know, Conor or somebody like that to ask for. But, dude, $25,000, I mean, come on, man. That just can't be right. That can't be right.
No.
So, I don't know. It was frustrating. He's so he hasn't even brought it. He's barely brought it down. He wants $1,000. $1,000 on Cameo to do something, to just whatever, however long these things are, 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it may be. $1,000, like, you think Floyd Mayweather made less per second in the ring than that?
But what's the appropriate value for yourself? I'm not going to list myself for $50. I'm worth more than that. You think I'm worth more than that, right, bud?
I do, but not just be, dude, listen, you can pick up your phone and go, you know, hey, such and such random person, you're going to crush it this week. Congrats. Happy birthday. Sorry, your dog died, whatever it is, maybe, you know what I mean? You're going to crush it. You know, woohoo, watch season 6 of The Office and hit and make a couple $100, but $1,000 for Dan the Hangman Hooker, $2,500 initially? Come on, man.
Oh, no. If that was the case, I'd say, Dan, I want you to sing Happy Birthday. I want it Celine Dion type Happy Birthday. I want it acoustics and everything, all right. Good to go.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you personally, right? You being a smart, talented man, right? That yes. You are. Yes. What do you feel your time is worth? Like, if you yourself were a commodity, how much do you legitimately, all jokes aside, think that you're worth an hour? How much do you think worth an hour?
Well, of course, I'm going to be truthful on the podcast. I don't know, $20.
$20 an hour, right?
Yeah.
That seems reasonable, right? Like, I'll
be a little cheap and dirty right now, but I'm going to say $20.
$20 an hour, right? So that doesn't. Does that break out to $1,000 every 30 seconds? No. That's ridiculous.
If I sing Happy Birthday, they might pay me more.
Exactly. Still, I'd give you $5 to hear you sing Happy Birthday in an anecdotal way. Maybe if we were like out at a Mexican place and you told them it was your birthday and it wasn't, so I could hear you sing Happy Birthday. Maybe, maybe might give you $5 or buy you a beer. But I'm not going to give you $1,000. It's just not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
I'll give you $1,000 as a friend, as a loan with 10% juice, but man. All right. Let's wrap this thing up. Before we get too far into this, I do have a prelim parlay that I like that I'm going to play. Again, not one of our official plays, but something I'm going to play. If you want to take it, absolutely. If you feel so inclined, please do. I'm going to play, Trey, Luis Pena taking on Kamaru Usman. I'm going to take Luis Pena. Tanner Boser's taking on Phillipe Lins. I'm going to take Phillipe Lins. And then Sean Woodson is taking on a last-second replacement, Julian Erosa. Erosa's got a wealth of experience at 22-7. Sean Woodson at 7-0. But I actually like Sean Woodson in this fight. I think it's worth a flyer. Julian Erosa is going to bring that line that much tighter. I'm going to take Sean Woodson, Phillipe Lins, and Luis Pena. As it stands right now, that's at about a plus 250. I look for that line to get a little bit bigger as we get closer. But I'm going to play a small amount on Luis Pena, Phillipe Lins, and Sean Woodson as a parlay.
Yeah, anytime you put Luis Pena, Violent Bob Ross in there, you're going to paint a little bush over there and you can put some cash in your pocket over there, man.
Right, right. No happy little accidents. All of that is on purpose, the W's that you're getting there. All right, Trey, let's put a bow on this bad boy. Father's Day came and went. We want to give some more stuff away.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. So we're in the process of giving some stuff away. We want to give away some stuff from our other show sponsor, Manscaped. Is that right?
We do.
Okay. Would you like me to go over the details of the contest?
Bring it on.
All right, guys. If you have already done some of these things, you do not have to do it again. But here's what we're going to do. Between now and this time next week, so next Wednesday, we will put up a Manscaped post. All right? Keep that in mind. If you have not already done so, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to us. If you leave us a 5-star review, that automatically enters you to win the Manscaped prize pack valued at over $100. All right? If you have already left us a 5-star review, that's fantastic. You are already entered. If you want to leave us a 5-star review and write something, we can then see your username and then shout you out on the show to tell us that way. If you leave us a 5-star review or have left us a 5-star review and have not written anything out, do not worry. When we post the Manscaped post, all you have to do is go into the comment section, and type out the word done. That's all you need to do. That counts as your entry. We will announce the winners next week on the show. That person will be getting a Manscaped prize pack valued at over $100. Trey, am I leaving anything out of this contest?
No, guys, I know that you haven't spent time on your undercarriage. I know that you're not all shaved down and ready to go to get out of quarantine. This is your chance. Don't spend $100. Just leave a 5-star review. And hey, the more creative your review, the better. Tell me I'm worth more than $20. Tell Dale you can't even put a price tag on him.
You can. I'm pretty cheap, actually.
You're pretty cheap.
Be surprised if I do for a good burger and a beer.
Yeah, probably. I'll take the same. Yeah, put that in the review. 5-star review. Hit us up on social. Write the word done. And you got yourself the trimmer. You got the duster. You got the ball spritzer. You got the mesh boxers. You're going to get everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to read you a conversation I had DM-wise regarding this. So it says, hey, man, I just got my Manscaped trimmer. I remember you saying I could go all out, but did you actually touch this thing to your nuts? Because I got my skin nicked one time by a trimmer, and I'm very hesitant.
Ah.
And I said, are you going to leave the guard on? He said, should I? And I said, well, I would until you get comfortable using it. Okay. So he said, well, I saw you say it says that you can only go flat against your skin, but with the guard, I can go all out. I said, with the guard on, I go wild up to and including my butthole. And he was like, wow, that's a testimony if I've ever heard one. Fast forward to 2 days later, I get a text message. Hey, man, I just wanted to let you know that the trimmer's on the charger right now because I used it and went absolutely crazy. It's actually tits. Thanks for the promo.
Wow. You had me a little bit nervous. I thought he was going to say, hey, man, I'm looking at the photos you sent me. It doesn't look that close.
It's not that clean of a shape. It's not that close of a shape. So, but yeah, shout out to show listener and user Jake's DeGram. Appreciate you reaching out about the Manscaped trimmer, man. If you guys want to take advantage of that anyway, take advantage of our promo code. If you've got other things that you want to buy, they have foot deodorant, other things. They've got the weed whacker now, which is an ear and nose trimmer. You can use our promo code, which is Poncho. Save you 20% off everything, and you'll get your free shipping. It's a great promo code. Encourage you to use it. Last thing, Trey, before we put an absolute wrap on this thing. I know I keep saying that. We keep going over. Jordan Griffin with a quick turnaround after last week's cancel. Fighting off. I'm going to butcher this guy's name, man. Yusef Zalal? How you want to go with that?
Zalal.
Yusef Zalal. Basically, to pick him this point, still love Jordan Griffin at a pick him, but that's not a play. I just want to throw that out there because I'm high on the Jordan Griffin train right now. But I just wanted to say that just for the sake of talking. Two plays, Dustin Poirier, Dan Hooker over Maurice Greene, John Volante under. Underdog watch for Mickey Gall and prelim parlay action for those who are brave. Sean Woodson, Violent Bob Ross, and Philippe Lins.
Dude, that's hot right there. It's hot.
That's it, man. That's how we're doing it. All right, you got anything else, dude?
That's it. Follow us on all social. Punchless MMA, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you can find us.
Yep. 5-star reviews anywhere you do it. Get you automatically entered to win that Manscaped prize pack. Let it happen. Shoot us a DM or comment on our post saying done, and that's all you need. You're in. All right, guys. Appreciate you. Talk to you all next week. And hit us up on social media if you have any questions about any prelim fights, main event fights, or anything else going on in the MMA world. Peace out. Be good to each other.